Amen. All right. I appreciate you being back tonight. Couple nights left, and our part will be finished. And I hope certainly that your part will continue. Amen. I want to do something a little unusual and different tonight. I want to ask you, we'll not stand tonight for reading because I've got some different passages I want to read and go over. We're going to do a quick, fast, and in a hurry Bible study. And it'll be so fast you'll think I'm preaching. Amen. But I want to try to be a help to you tonight. Take your Bibles, if you will, and we'll start in Ezekiel chapter number 24. Ezekiel chapter number 24. And I'd like to, if the Lord would let us, I want to just use three or four different things from the Word of God. And I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on some things that your pastor wish you knew, but he can't tell you. Amen. Don't down me that quick. I'd like for you, I want to say some things tonight that every pastor at some point in his life wants to tell all of his people. But most of them don't do it. And so we're going to do it tonight. Amen. And just give you some things that's on his heart that you didn't know was there. Or maybe you did and you just take for granted sometimes. This message tonight is about Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Not about your pastor.
Amen.
Amen. But he is the man that God put in this place.
Amen.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
Amen.
And so I believe this is God's will. I want to try to mind the Lord tonight. And just let you see his heart for a few minutes. Because I can say with confidence that what I'm going to tell you tonight is in his heart. Amen. We haven't talked about this. He didn't know I was going to even say anything about this. But the Lord had it all planned out. Amen. All right. So I want you to look, first of all, tonight at Ezekiel chapter number 24, please. And let's see. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. Ezekiel chapter number 24. And verse number 15. This is a man of God. This is a prophet. He's a preacher. And God's going to do something in his life that he's done in other preachers' lives. But in doing so, God's trying to show him where his heart's at. Amen. And God wants him to know where his heart's at. And we'll see in just a moment. Verse number 15. The Bible says, also the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Now here's God, he's talking to Ezekiel. And he says, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Now, let me just give you the Greek on that. I think if any man's worth his weight in salt, then the desire of his eyes ought to be a spouse. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but the desire in my eyes is my spouse.
Amen.
I love my wife.
Right.
Yes. And God gave her to me for the ministry. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that. But God just said something amazing here to Ezekiel. He said, you know that one that you love so much? You know that one that I bless you with, you care so much for. God said, I'm going to give her a stroke. She's going to die. That's what it says. Look. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. He said, verse 17, forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. Verse number 18. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Here's what Ezekiel is saying tonight. He's saying, I love my wife. And she's been a great asset in my ministry. But God called me to preach. And God's calling on my life is more important than anything else in the world.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, you can preach later. Ezekiel said, so in the morning I got up and I went out and I preached. Because God said to go preach. And he said, then I came home that evening and my wife died. She had a stroke and died. And he said, I went to bed and I got up the next morning and I didn't go down to the undertaker.
Yeah,
I didn't go to a funeral home. I didn't order flowers or set up a funeral. He said, the next morning I got up and I went out and I preached.
Right.
You say, what is that? What are you talking about? I'm talking about a man that's committed to do what God has called him to do.
Right.
Amen. Everybody all right?
Yes, sir.
Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but that takes something you don't find in this world.
Right, amen. You got
that right. Amen. Can I say something to you? Can I help you for a second? Especially maybe some of you younger guys is preaching. Can I give you some advice? That by the time you stand up in front of people and you say, God has called me to preach, there ought to be some things settled in your life.
Amen.
There ought to be some things taken care of. Amen. There ought to be some things already set aside and ain't ever going to change. They're written in stone. And that's the way it's going to be until God comes. And if you don't get those things settled, if you don't get those things fixed, if those things are not engraved, amen, I'm telling you, you'll have trouble all the days of your life. Amen. You'll never be much of a preacher, much less a pastor, if you can't have commitment in your life to God.
Amen.
There's got to be some things. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
What things, preacher? Wives?
Amen.
And cars and houses? Hello, everybody all right?
Amen.
Now that's not the message. Don't get upset and leave. I'm just trying to help you. Amen. I'm trying to show you tonight it takes a special kind of commitment to pastor people. You know what God said to this preacher? You know what He said to him? I don't know about you, but if I was going to look in the dictionary and look up the definition for the word commitment, that would be there. I mean, that's just it. Amen? And sometimes, listen, can I help you? Sometimes my wife don't understand. Sometimes she don't understand. Why you got to go preach that? Why are you going over there to preach? They having martial law over there. Why you got to go over there and preach? Why you got to go up yonder and preach? Why you got to do this? Why you got to do that? And I'm telling you, women's a weaker vessel. They don't understand a lot of things. They're emotional.
Right.
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
And so, hey, there's been times when my wife come to me and she said, I don't think you ought to do this. She care what you do, preacher, I did it anyway. And then she came back to me later. You know what she said? Thank you for not listening to me. Yeah. Are y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
Talking about commitment.
Yeah.
Talking about getting some things settled before you ever stand up and say, God's called me to be a preacher. Amen. I'm telling you, as soon as you tell the world that God's called you to preach, God's called you to be a man of God, the devil's going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Not find out if you call. He's going to find out if you really are one.
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Yeah, right.
Amen. So I'm talking about commitment. So Ezekiel here, he's already settled some things in his life. He's committed to God. But God says to him in Ezekiel chapter 3, I don't have time to turn there tonight. You can turn and read it when you get home. He said, listen, my people's been taken captive by the Gentiles. They're sitting down there at the river Chebar. He said, I want you to go down there. He said, if you will, Ezekiel, just go down there. And he said, see all those people sitting by the riverside. He said, they're sitting by the riverside. He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to sit there for 7 days. Top of the tribulation. He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to sit for 7 days by the riverside. I want you to feel what they feel. I want you to see what they see. I want you to understand what they understand. I want you to feel the hurt that they feel. Feel the torture that they feel and the torment that they feel. Amen. And that little boy, he's about 6 years old. And they come, they drug his mama off. Have to take her head off. Amen. And the little boy's got to watch. I want you to sit by his side for 7 days and listen to him cry and wail and moan and feel what he feels. Amen. Amen. You see that couple right there? They're fixing to get married. They're fresh. They've been committed to one another for a year. Now they're going to get married. And on their wedding day, they're going to come and take her fiancé and cut his head off while she watches. The day they're supposed to be married. God said, I want you to go sit down with her. And sit there for 7 days. And you know what? You know what he said when it was all done? You know what his statement was? Here's what Ezekiel said. He said, I sat where they sat.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the reason God put that man in this church is because in a lot of areas of your life, he's been there and done that. He has sat where you're sitting tonight. And he understands trouble. And he understands sorrow. And he understands heartbreak. Are y'all listening to me? And that's the kind of people God uses. Everybody all right?
Amen.
I'm talking about Ezekiel, but let's move on. I want to get to the message. And we could spend all night on Ezekiel chapter 3. I don't have time to do that. Amen. But I want to show you something else here. Now watch. Watch your Bible. Go with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter number 6. Everybody all right?
Amen.
2 Kings chapter number 6. Let's read a couple verses here. I'm trying to help you tonight. I want you to know, church, that there's some things that your pastor wish you knew. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Look with me, please. I will begin reading in verse number 24. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host, and he went up and he besieged Samaria. And there was a great, now watch, there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. you know what? Sometimes you need to read that and meditate on it and let it sink in. Verse 26 says, "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall..." Can I stop? I want to say something before we go any further. What we're about to read is not Aesop's Fables.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, amen.
This is not Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
What we're about to read took place on a literal day in literal history. Now let's read it. Verse 26 says, "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help! My Lord, O king! And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. You say, Preacher, I don't believe that. It don't make any difference if you believe it or not.
Yeah.
That happened. Watch. Verse 29. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. Verse number 30. It came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, so let me break it for you. This king can't fix her problem. Are y'all with me? And she comes to him and she needs some help, and he can't fix it. He can't help her. And so when he finds out what they've done to these babies, it's a sign of sorrow and agony. It's a sign of mourning. And the Bible says he rent his clothes. He tore them. It's just like when Jesus was hanging on the cross and they took that spear and they pushed it in his side and the blood and the water came out. His flesh was torn. That's what it's a type of. Torn. Amen? And this king is mourning. He's in sorrow. He's in trouble. The Bible says he rent his clothes. And now he's up there and he's walking on the wall around the city. Around the castle. And the peoples down in town, they see their king walking on the wall. And when they look at him, the Bible says, they could see sackcloth under his clothes against his flesh. How many of you know what sackcloth is? How many of you ever seen one of them sack races? How many of you know what burlap is? Burlap is sackcloth. Amen. It's real coarse and it's rough. And that's what they did in those days. They'd use that burlap and they don't want anything that would bring them joy. You see, they're mourning. They're in sorrow. They're in a state of turmoil and trouble. And so, now watch, I want you to get a hold of this. It'll help you. I want you to hear this tonight. Every person, every man, boy, girl, woman, everybody in this church, everybody in this world wears sackcloth. Burlap, sorrow, trouble. Everybody wears heartache. Everybody all right? But you see, most of the people in the church, when they put on sackcloth, when they put on their trouble, when they put on their heartache, they put it on the outside of their clothes. They'll put their clothes on, their suit on, and then they'll get the bag and they'll pull it down over the outside of it. You say, why, preacher? Because they don't want it rubbing next to their flesh. It'll scratch them. Y'all all right?
Amen.
And so, listen, everywhere you go, you see church members. And every time you see one, somewhere is more than others. But they're always got on their sackcloth.
Yeah, amen.
And some people, like some of you, you always wear it on the outside. Where everybody can see it everywhere you go. Woe is me. Y'all look at my troubles. You say, what are you saying, preacher? They're wearing their sackcloth on the outside so everybody knows they're wearing sackcloth.
Right.
Look at my troubles.
Yeah.
Feel sorry for me. Have pity on me. And I got some, dear God, I meet at Walmart or some I meet down at the gas station and I hate to see them. I'm telling you, cause as soon as you connect their eyes, you're going to be an hour. So doing what? They're going to tell you all about that sackcloth they got on.
Right, amen.
Preacher, I guess you didn't know this happened. Well, yeah, but you don't know the whole story. Let me tell you the whole story. And they'll spend 45 minutes at the gas pump telling you about the sackcloth they're wearing. And are y'all hearing me? And some people, God bless you, I love you, but some of you's like that. And when you get in trouble, you want everybody in the church to start a prayer chain.
Amen.
Oh, dear God, we got to start a prayer chain. It's getting bad. Reckon all to tell them what's wrong, preacher. I broke my finger. Two places. Doc says I might have to have it removed. And they'll stand up on Wednesday night to give a testimony. And they're not testifying. What they're doing is they're making an announcement. Y'all look at my circle. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep dark depression, a chest of misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Amen.
They're wearing it on the outside.
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Amen.
Can I help you? Can I tell you something? That man right there wears it on the inside.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's about to bust and you'll never know it. And sometimes he's got to go run hide in a closet somewhere so he can weep in private. So, is everybody all right?
Amen.
I would to God you could understand how a pastor feels sometime. Because he's got nobody to turn to. Just him and God. Nobody wants to hear his problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody wants to hear his sorrow. And so you know what he does? He puts that sackcloth inside his clothes and he scratches him all day. And he puts on a nice suit or something on the outside and you never know there's a problem. How you doing, preacher? Great, everything's fine. Come on, am I telling you the truth?
Right, amen.
And if a word does peep out from his house, it's cause his wife let the cat out of the bag.
Amen.
And sometimes she's got to have a vent. Amen. Why is it? You ever notice this? You ever notice when people leave, get mad and leave? They don't ever leave the church. They just leave the pastor and his family. Don't give them a chance to listen it out, hear it out. I had a fellow leave here a few weeks ago, and I sent him a text. I said, "Brother, I wish you'd at least left out the front door like a man. What is it so bad in your life? Can I help you? Can I tell you what it is? You don't like him talking about your sin." It was all right when that youngin was 5 years old. It was all right when it was just a little tot and he was preaching the same thing 15 years ago he's preaching tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Now they're 20 years old and they ain't living right and they ain't doing what they're supposed to do and he's just preaching the same message and now you get mad and leave. Amen. You know what? He can't run down the street. He can't go. And most of the time, most pastors today, you leave and run down there. They don't ever call and find out where you came from or why you came down there. What are you doing away from home? You see, you don't realize how important it is to God for you to be in your place.
Amen.
You know what I was telling somebody earlier tonight? I said, you know what God told Moses? God told Moses, he said, "Moses, come up here. And when you get up here, be here."
Amen.
He said, "What do you mean, preacher?" I said, "He told Moses, 'Moses, get up here. And when you get here, I want your mind here. I want your body here. I want your emotions here. I want every bit of you.'"
Amen.
Amen.
And when you go home tonight, hey, you ought to have all of you at home.
Right.
Don't take your job to the house. And when you go to the job, hey, have all of you at the job and don't take your house to the job.
Amen.
When you go to church, you ought to all be here. You ought to have all of you here.
Amen.
Don't. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you get here, be here.
Amen.
Get your mind here. How many people leave because their hearts and minds are gone 6 weeks before their feet ever hit the floor?
Amen. Right. Amen.
They think I'm fussing at them. I ain't fussing. You know what I'm telling you, folks? But look at me. I'm telling you things that he ain't going to tell you to your face because he loves you.
Amen.
And it matters to him how you feel. And he has to weigh that thing every week. Got to balance it. Got to keep God pleased and keep you halfway pleased. You ought to try that sometime. God's fed up with you. God says, "I've had enough of them." And now he got to stand and figure out how to tell you that without making you mad. You think it's easy to pastor? God said, "You're not going to pass. You're going to go down there to that church. You're going to sit where they sat." And that's what he did. And he sat under another man of God. Until God said, "Now you ready?" Moved the other man out and he put him in here. Come on, am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
And now he's the pastor. And now he can't wear his sackcloth on the outside where everybody can see it. He don't get to run down to Facebook and chew y'all up. Like you do him.
Right. Praise you, brother.
Amen. I lost 80%, 80% of church at one time. 80%. Every one of them connected on Facebook.
Right.
had me and my wife for dinner, lunch, and breakfast. You say, what'd you do? Nothing.
Yeah.
And they went across the river and sat there and wait until I leave and go back to North Carolina so they could come take the church over. About 5-6 years ago. And guess what? They still waiting. Because pastors don't run.
Amen.
I'm not a hireling. Hello? Everybody all right?
Yes.
He's not a hireling.
Amen.
And when things rub him wrong, he's just got to take it.
Amen.
He's just got to deal with it. And he's just most of the time got to keep his mouth shut, give it to God, and go find a stump somewhere and cry for a while. Do you ever consider him in your prayers? Amen. When's the last time you thought about being a blessing to his family? I'm not fussing at your church. Amen. I'm trying to tell you something he can't tell you.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Now, listen to me. I want to, that was all preliminaries. Give me about 10 minutes. Can I? I'm going to give you the message God came here with. Okay? Now, I want you to get this point if you don't get anything else. Because this right here tonight is what's going to destroy that man. You hear me? And you'll never know it happened. Can I show you? Everybody all right? All right, take your Bible, go to 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I want to tell you, if there's one problem tonight, if there's one thing in this church that's going to take him down before anything else in this church, can I tell you what it is? Everybody all right?
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to get mad at me if I tell you. You ain't promising, are you? Can I tell you what it is? Can I tell you what's going to destroy his home? Can I tell you what's going to take him down? Can I help you?
Amen.
It's your disloyalty. There ain't nothing tonight. Every pastor I know, wishes somebody would stand up and preach to his people about being faithful and loyal to the house of God. And I know you don't realize this. And you think it's nothing when you call because, well, everybody else is there. Nah, he'll be fine without me. I don't need to be there tonight. That's got nothing to do with it, folks. How about this? How about you sitting up to 2 or 3 o'clock on Sunday morning, praying and agonizing with God, getting a message because you know that family needs it. And boy, if God will just fix that one up for you, and while you're working on the message, all them faces come to your mind. Man, this will help them. Boy, this will encourage them. This will get them through a few more weeks. And then they don't even have the audacity to come and sit down and eat. And you don't think he don't feel that? It kills him. It kills him when he don't know where you are, what you're doing. You ought to try it sometime. I dare you to try it. Everybody ought to pastor for about 3 days. 1 Kings, please, look with me. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Look at verse number 19. Here's a man of God. His name's Elisha. Amen? You know what God liked about this man Elisha? He was loyal. When he was at home, he was loyal to his family. When he hired workers and he used them in the field, he was loyal to his workers. I'm going to show you. And when he left home and he went into the ministry, he never looked back. He was loyal to the ministry. Look at it, verse 19. The Bible says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, talking about Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing. Now watch this. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. Watch, and he with the 12th. Now you gotta see, you gotta get this. So here we find out right off the bat he's a wealthy man. He owns 12 yoke of oxen. He's got a servant plowing at every yoke except one, and that's number 12, and he's on it. That's what it says. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. God's calling him into the ministry. Look at it. Verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, because I'm loyal to my family. And then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Verse 21. And he returned back from him. Watch now, watch. And he took a yoke of oxen, and he slew them, and he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. And he gave unto the people. He fed all them servants that was working with the oxen that he killed. He's getting out of the plowing business. He's getting out of the farming business. You listen, there ain't no change from a burnt offering. Look at it. He says, verse 21 again, and he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen, and he slew them, and he boiled their flesh within the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. And from that day, until God took Elijah up, until that day, the Bible says he ministered to Elijah. He was faithful at home, he was faithful in the field, and he was faithful in the ministry. Loyal to the man of God. I talked to my church one time about how to live in a small church. I said, first thing you got to have is loyalty. One of our great men of God in the church spoke up and said, that means to Jesus Christ. I said, that's exactly right. Now you tell me how you're going to be loyal to Jesus Christ without doing it for somebody in the church. You're going to get on your knees every night and say, Lord, I'm loyal to you. Hog fat. Can I show you something? Go to 2 Kings. Watch this. 2 Kings chapter 3. Just over a couple pages. 2 Kings chapter 3. Look with me. You need to see this. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Watch now. Watch what it says. Verse number 11. Just one verse. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. See, what are you saying? He poured water, so Elijah, he ministered to him. He was loyal to him. You say, preacher, I don't believe that means he was loyal. Well, good. Look at chapter 2, please. Look at it. Chapter 2, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm talking about loyalty. You know what? You know what's needed tonight, folks? You need to have some loyalty in your heart and life. Bible says, look. Verse number 2, the latter part of the verse. Well, let me read this whole verse. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Wait a minute, whoa. Look at verse 4. Last part, last sentence. I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse 6. I will not leave thee. So they too went on. Everybody all right? Bible says in verse 8, they went over on dry ground. Amen? And so on and so forth. Can I give you one more? Look at chapter 2 again. Look at verse number 23. You need to see this. You know what they've been doing? Been going to Bethel, been going to Jericho. You know what they've been doing? They've been going to church.
Right.
You see that?
Amen.
Can I show you something? Can I show you something real quick? Watch now. I want you to see this. Now watch. Get a hold of this. Elijah is gone. Right? Now watch verse 23. And he, talking about Elijah, went up from thence unto Bethel. What is that? Church. That's the house of God. El Bethel means God of the house of God. Amen? So he went up to Bethel. He went, watch. So here's this bald-headed preacher named Elijah. And he's, look, the one that he ministered to, the one that he's loyal to, is gone. But what he instilled in him and what he learned from the man of God was to stay loyal.
Amen.
And so even though Elijah's gone, guess where Elijah's going? The church.
Right.
You see that? I don't think you see it. Look, watch. Bible says, verse number 23, and he went up from thence into Bethel, going to church, and as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Can you see the picture? You say, where did they get that? Sitting at home with mom and dad eating lunch. You don't think all those 42 youngins sat around and thought up to do that to the man of God? They learned that from the parents. Sitting at lunch talking about the man of God and the children sitting there. That sorry preacher down there, that good for nothing, bald headed rat. You wait till I get a hold of it. And so the kid's out playing now. And the man of God's walking to church. And all of them, 42 of them, standing out there going, God, bald head! Go to church, bald head! Hey, where are you going? You going to church?
Right.
Look at the next verse. And he turned back, looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40 and two children of them. You say, why did God allow these two bears to tear up 42 children? Are you listening? Because God honors loyalty. I don't know if you noticed or not. Do you know what the Bible says about a grizzly bear and her cubs? If you're ever out in the woods and you see a grizzly bear and her cubs, whatever you do, don't get in between them.
Right.
See, why is that, preacher? Because you're going to find out how loyal she is to them babies.
Right.
Amen? She will tear you apart. Everybody all right?
Amen.
And they stay that way until they're about full grown. She protects them. She cares for them. That's more than humans do.
Right. Amen.
Everybody okay?
Amen.
Talking about bears. You know what the Bible says? Bible says, paraphrasing, it's better for you to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. What? How could that be, preacher? Look here. Look at me, good eye. A bear can only take your hide off. A fool can put your soul in hell. Amen? You say, how you know that? Listen, I know about being chased by bears. I've been chased by a polar bear. I ain't making that up. And they said, look here, if you kill that polar bear, you better have claw marks on you. I said, you let him get too close, he's going. Marks or no marks. Amen? You know what it'll do when you get chased by a polar bear? It'll change your prayer life.
Amen.
And you'll be able to run at speeds you never dreamed possible. Amen? Do you know Canadian geese, male and female, they find their mate and they mate for life and they never break up. And if hunters is out one day and they shoot that male or that female down and it falls to the ground, that other bird will stay right there with it until he dies. Never change mates. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? Look at me. Loyalty.
Amen.
How many of you ever seen these salmon? Read stories about salmon. Watch them on the news or some of these channels. I go up to Alaska about once a year, something like that. And every year, just like clockwork, these salmon, they'll race upstream, sometimes hundreds of miles, to get back to the very place where they were born, just so they can lay their eggs and die. That's what they got to look forward to. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Look at my good eye. Loyalty. And if a salmon could be loyal to her eggs, not even hatched yet, you think God's people could be loyal to their families?
Amen.
You think we could be loyal to our spouses if a goose could do it? You think we could be loyal to our babies if a bear could do it? And God said, put your pastor and your church and all that above all that.
Right.
Seek God first. And I'll tell you something. If that man right there dies of a broken heart, and most of them do, it'll be because a majority of his people were not loyal to the things of God. But here's what we're going to do tonight. I don't think there's any need. We could preach for 6 more weeks. Got 2 nights left. But if we could fix this right here tonight, if you could just get right tonight committed to God. Now, I'm not even talking to you that's lost. Some of you lost. You're going to go to hell. I can't do a thing about it. Jesus saves, and you better get in.
That's right.
But I'm talking to the church tonight. I'm talking to you that are to be faithful to revival meetings. Sunday morning, Sunday night. God don't ask a lot of you, but He's sure done a lot for you. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
I don't think there'd be anything wrong tonight with maybe just come by and shake your pastor's hand. Let him know you're going to be loyal. But don't say it if you don't mean it. But I would to God somebody would mean it again. And God, listen to me, God don't do anything by accident. You think I relish in preaching this? This ain't my favorite message. But God sent me with a message to you that He's looking for loyalty in His house again. Would you stand with me, please? Sister, maybe somebody come to the piano.